It's time for another VIP Spotlight presentation for the month of October. Our special guest this month is a fantastic musician, John Luland. We know him as John the Guitar Man. To learn more about this talented individual, here is our host, Teresa Rose.
Everyone to this month's VIP of the Month Spotlight, and our VIP of the month of October is our own John the Guitar Man, and he is John Luland, and he was born September 24th, 1962, and he lives in Nutley, New Jersey. Thank you so much, John, for agreeing to be my VIP of the month of October. Thank you.
The pleasure is mine, Teresa. The pleasure is mine.
All right, John, we're going to get started here. And the first question I have for you is, John, tell us where you were born and raised.
Where was I born and raised? I was born and raised right here in good old, well, actually, I spent the first few years of my life in a town called Newark, New Jersey, and then me and my family moved to Nutley, New Jersey, where I live right now with my beautiful wife. And honestly, coming here to Nutley, New Jersey is very beautiful because unfortunately the school system over there, they say, was not very good. And my parents were really concerned about that. And so we moved here to Nutley, New Jersey, and here I am, talking to you and everyone else.
Okay, John, tell us a little bit about your parents.
Well, besides me, I've got a beautiful sister named, we call her Jan, but her full name is Jeanette Louise Luland. She's a beautiful little thing. She's married, and she's got four beautiful children whom I see every now and then. My mom is retired, and unfortunately, she's gone back and forth to and from the hospital. She has a lot of things wrong with her, sadly. And my father died in 1989, which was a very, very sad situation because I miss him very dearly. And there is not one second of the day that I don't think of him. He has been so good to me. He's been my rock. Second to the Blessed Savior Jesus, he has been my focus in everything.
John, what did your father do for a living? And did your mother work, or was she a stay-home mom?
Well, for a while, mom stayed home to raise me and my beautiful sister. Then she went back to work. She worked for the Jersey Commission for the Blind for a little bit. And my father first started out working, believe it or not, he did a lot of insurance work, but really, he really worked with a lot of people in the office of aging. He was very much interested in helping old people and see how they do things, and they helped out. My father helped them out a lot, and really, that was really what he really wanted to do. He was a person face-to-face. He really wanted something like that.
Awesome. My kind of person, a personable person. John, were you born blind or did you go blind later in life?
Well, so the story says I was born blind, and I was able to be operated on at 4 years old, and still remember how I howled when they wanted to give me that needle to put me to sleep. After a while, it worked. And the doctor, whom I'm sure is no longer living, a Dr. Reese, he operated on me, and little did I know that when I reached a certain age, due to the fact they weren't able to take out as much cataracts as I wanted, I was told that I get glaucoma. When I was working at the now defunct Rickles, my supervisor was so concerned because a lot of customers were complaining that I was putting things on the wrong shelf. So finally, I spoke with our store manager and said, before I start work, how would you feel if I call my eye doctor on the telephone? And they said, yes, by all means. And I was able to get to the office, which was in Bloomfield. I don't know if he still practices there now, but that was, I was told that I did have glaucoma. They're going to send me to a specialist whom I see. His name is Dr. Philip Fury. He works on Center Street, and he's trying to take care of me to the best of his ability, but unfortunately, one of the times, my eye pressure was so high that he had to do the surgery, and they were able to fix it up, and I just don't know how much more I've got, really. It's like every day I'm constantly reminded of this, and it really...
Well, John, let's go back a little bit to when you were born. So I gather you were born with cataracts when you were born, and that's why they had to do the surgery to remove those cataracts?
Well, from what I understand, I was born totally blind, yes, and they were able to take some of the cataracts out. But then, unfortunately, in my youth, when I had difficulty trying to put things onto the right shelves in the store... I was able to make a call to my eye doctor, and that's when I found out that I did have secondary glaucoma.
Okay, so let me ask, did you go to public school, or did you go to a school for the blind?
Well, believe it or not, I went to a supposed school for the blind in Newark. They showed me a little bit, but not much. Then my parents and my beautiful sister moved to Nutley, New Jersey, where I was able to go to public school, but they had a special program for me, and I was able to go through the 5th and 6th grade to the best of my ability. Then it was junior high school, where they also had what they call a resource learning program. I was able to go through that. Then in high school, public high school, Nutley High School, they said that they had something to help me with, but really, it really wasn't. It was just a special... It was just a special classroom for students who needed a little bit more help, but really, the teachers over there really did not have any experience with working with the visually impaired, except for one thing, which we'll get into in just a moment.
All right, John, let's go back. So you started out at the school for the blind. What do you remember about that?
You're asking me about the school for the blind here in Nutley, New Jersey. Is that what you're asking?
The school that you attended before you moved to Nutledge and started in public school. You said you had attended a school for the blind?
That was one of the most beautiful... That was one of the most beautiful parts of my life. I went to a well-known school in Boston. It's spelled capital P-R-K-I-N-S. Perkins School for the Blind. I felt so good. I went there for a summer evaluation, and the school decided that, yes, they were going to be able to help me. And that September, I actually started and completed 5 beautiful years of that school. It was so beautiful. Perkins School for the Blind really gave me the impression that I can learn. And to the best of my ability, I learned all that I could.
All right, John, let's talk a little bit about what it was like growing up. So you were born blind. They did surgery to remove some cataracts. Then you were told that you had glaucoma. And you had a sister. So how were you treated? Were you treated like a blind child, or were you treated differently because you were visually impaired, or were you accepted by your parents and your other children that in the school and so forth? Were you treated like everybody else, or were you treated different?
Somewhat differently, but not all the way differently, because they knew that I was trying to learn. Are you talking about the school in Newark or Perkins?
We're talking about your younger school days.
Okay, so the school in Newark you're talking about. They did have very few students who actually used Braille, and they tried to teach it to me, but it really didn't do me any good. I mean, I learned very little Braille, but really, it really did not do me any good at all, because I could see a little bit more than what I do now, and yes, I was taught how to sign my name, you know, in the writing they call cursive. I can still do it. It's getting a little sloppy, but yes, I was taught how to write and signed my name. I was able to read large print in Perkins, yes, but unfortunately that's really been taken away right now from me, sadly. I mean, every now and then I can see it a little bit, but not as much. Not as much as I used to.
All right, John, what age were you that you attended the 5 years at Perkins School for the Blind?
It was age 15. It was, like I said before, and I'll say it again, the most beautiful time of my life. And they had a high school program which I was able to go through, and I passed with, okay, music, of course, A's. Everything else, a few B's, a few C's, but really, some of the subjects really didn't interest me because, well, I was a very slow reader because I had, it's like I really had to really concentrate on it, but really, reading was never really my best, but as we do here, we have, they had the old talking book records, the old talking book machines, but we've moved on from that. We use what they call the digital Victor readers, the Victor Stream Reader. It actually lets us download books onto the machine, and what's helpful to me in my job at the church, which we'll talk about in just a moment, it actually enables me to record when people read me the words to the songs that I'm supposed to sing, and I follow it, really. The Victor Stream Reader is one of the best things that's ever happened.
I agree with you totally. I use my Victor Stream daily, and I love to read. Okay, John, let's talk a little bit about your 5 years at Perkins. You talked about music. What other activities were you involved with other than your a curriculum, such as your, you know, math, science, readings? What other activities other than music were you involved in? Did you play sports or anything like that?
Well, believe it or not, they actually offered to us some of the subjects that were not taught in the normal school system. There was a class called Community Experience. We took some lessons in shop, and we were given daily living skills, how to clean up our bedroom, a little bit of housekeeping. We actually learned a little bit of cooking. So basically, at Perkins, it was a lot more involved, but much more beautiful to me when they actually taught me that, because really, those were five of the most wonderful years of my life.
Okay, this leads up to my next question. Are you a cane user or a guide dog user or neither?
Well, believe it or not, my vision became so bad that I was at a conference. We don't go there anymore, the National Federation, and I kept on, and I was, believe it or not, actually able to take what the seeing eye calls a Juno walk. I had a friend, unfortunately, who passed, and when we got back home to New Jersey, I kept saying, Mom, that's it. I am going to do whatever I can to apply for my guide dog. I mean, that Juno walk was really like, let's keep going. I don't want to stop. I didn't want the Juno walk to stop. But unfortunately, the representative from CNI, he had to get back inside. They were having meetings. The representative from CNI was having meetings with some people from the National Federation. But it's like, they knew that I would be seeing them. And believe it or not, the dog that I have here now is my third. My first dog was named Ozzy, and my second dog, they gave her the name of Frances, but in my mind, she was a real lady. She was very, very calm and very gentle. Even my wife loved her. And now, the dog that I have now is Hermes. That's my third dog. He is so loving.
And John, what school, guide dog school, did you get your dog from? And how long have you had him?
I actually got Hermes on October 12th, and he was from the Seeing Eye. Yes, Seeing Eye are the only ones that. I mean, I think there is another guide dog school. I really don't know, but Hermes, like my other dogs, were from the Seeing Eye. Yes.
What type of breed? What breed of dog is he? A lab, a golden retriever? What breed?
He has a little bit of lab and a little bit of retriever in him. I've had Hermes for a year. Yes, and come November 12th, that will be a very special one because he was born on November 12th and he's going to be 3 years old.
Awesome. Sounds awesome. Sounds like you have a great relationship. I personally have never had a guide dog. I've always been a cane user, but I have was sighted most of my life. But I understand from everybody that talks about their guide dogs of the freedom that it gives them. So, John, did you feel like you came into more freedom when you got your first guide dog?
Yes. In fact, I spent my training with him at the school. But I remember it's like I was like, what do I do now? I asked the instructor. But Ozzy, in his own way, said, hey, Dad, just tell me where you want me to go and I'll take you. And we had a few good years, me and Ozzy. Then I got Francis, who I nicknamed Lady, and now I've got my friend here, Hermes.
Well, that sounds awesome. John, after you left the Perkins School for the Blind, you were there 5 years, and when you finished there, did you further your education in any way, or what did you do when you left Perkins?
I actually did work in a sheltered workshop for maybe, I'm not sure of the time, I think it was 3 years, but the staff there, they told me in their own way, I really outgrew the place because a lot of those people there, I was told, were very low functional. But unfortunately, due to the fact that I was visually impaired, which they knew, they weren't able to help me. But then the mayor of Nutley, who I don't know is living, his name was Carl Arecchio, he was able to get me an interview for the Nutley ShopRite. My very first job was at the Grand Union in Clifton, which worked out half decently. But unfortunately, I didn't know this until one of the workers there told me that they were known for being a high-priced food chain. And unfortunately, that really took a lot of people away. So unfortunately, after a while, and this was a very bad thing because the manager really didn't want to let me go because he knew that even though I was visually impaired, I was doing my best. But unfortunately, they had to let me go. I assume Grand Union sold over to another food chain. But then I was working at ShopRite for a little bit. But after a while, which was really, so they say, the beginning of my blindness, I was missing too many of the customers' things that they were buying. So they had to get them again. Unfortunately, the manager got a hold of it and they had to let me go. So then I was introduced to the National Federation for the Blind, like I said, and they helped me a little bit, but I had a long time waiting for another job. But then the rest is history, because now what I do is I sing at St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church. I do get paid for it, and that is where I use the Victor Stream Reader as my audio hymn book. So really, it's like a lot of things. It's like my faith and trust in Jesus really helped me a lot through everything.
I understand that fully. I don't see how people get along if they don't believe and trust in God. John, talk a little bit about what you do for the church and how the Victor Stream, I know it has a record feature. So does someone give you the words and you learn them that way? And talk a little bit about that.
Of course, yes. What I do, I have one helper. I have a person who's paid to actually do that. She reads the words from our hymnal, and I record them on the Victor Reader. Then I transfer them to another one, which is a little bit more powerful. And I learn them to the best of my ability. Of course, sometimes I get thrown off because I sometimes miss one or two words, but the organist understands that. And the Victor Stream Reader actually helps me a lot. In fact, not only does it have all the words to the hymns, but what I also do is sometimes I may just place the machine right near the speaker here, and I actually record some of the music that I really don't know. So yes, My Victor Stream readers are a blessing.
Well, I agree with you there. John, let's talk a little bit about, you are known as John the Guitar Man. So, and I've heard you in Center Stage, and Els and I both love to hear you play, and we enjoy your music. When did you learn to play the guitar? And did you take lessons? Are you self-taught? Or you just picked it up one day and you knew how to play?
Here again, this goes back to when we were living in Nutley, one of my finer days. My parents took me to see this man who is in heaven now. Richard Fieldhouse was his name. He gave lessons to visually impaired children. And for some reason, I fell in love with the banjo. And Mom seems to think it was... I heard one of the other students play it, but my theory is I used to hear it on the old 78 records, the 45s that my dad used to play for me. So I started learning the banjo. But unfortunately, after a while, the music teacher said he was over at the house to see me to hear my progress. I didn't really get all the words that he said to my mom, but unfortunately he said, you know, he is really not going to be able to sing with the banjo because it's really an instrumental instrument. And so they showed me a replica of the banjo in a 4-string tenor guitar. And I thought, oh no, a guitar has 6 strings. But no, the director of the organization said, no, John, this is going to be the exact same setup in the guitar. It'll have 4 strings like you're used to. You can apply the same things that I showed you with this guitar. And believe it or not, it was beautiful. I had a little bit of difficulty, but I caught on very easily. But then I changed over to the 6-string guitar, and that's where it is with all my musical training, because with the guitar, I mean, I hear the old records sometimes. Yes, I do have a stereo that plays them, and mostly I listen to, I don't want to say her name much because she'll turn on, we have... the Alexa, we have 2 of them, and I can ask her to play a few songs, and some of them I have a hard time learning, but not as much. Another thing here, I never told anyone this, but after a while, I started to lose a little bit of hearing. I've got hearing aids on, so I wanted them, but in a way, it's difficult because it's a lot to take care of, basically.
Well, John, I have to say that you are a precise guitarist, and I love to hear you play. Just awesome. Els and I both enjoy it, and we always love to hear you pick, as well as singing. So what is your favorite kind of music, John?
Well, I enjoy all sorts of genres. There's the beautiful songs I play on the guitar, but my all-time favorite, I was introduced to it when I was able to see The Phantom of the Opera on Broadway. The title song, Michael Crawford sings it beautifully. It's called The Music of the Night, and I was able to buy the accompaniment on one side of the disc, and on the other side, it has another person, not as good as Michael Crawford sings it, but he taught it to me, and that is beautiful song I've ever heard. Michael Crawford sings so beautifully.
Well, let me ask you, John, do you play any other instruments, and do you still play the banjo?
Not really, no. I'm a guitarist. Do I still play the banjo? No, because now, at this point of my life, I've got a little bit of tendonitis, but other than that, I'm strictly a guitarist. I mean, I do fool around with the old recorder every now and then, but not as much. But really, my main instrument is the guitar, I guess.
So, John, are you into sports at all? And if so, what is your favorite sport?
Enter back into the picture, my father. We used to watch baseball, and there was one player I really enjoyed watching him play, who's no longer with us now, the late Thurman Munson. He didn't get a hit every time, but man, did he play to win. When he found a good pitch, whack, off it went the bat, and into the grandstand. He hit a lot of home runs. It's like when I would go to summer camp, Dad would always write me letters, and he would say, your boy did the job for so many pitchers when the Yankees had the good people. It's like, sadly, with this coronavirus and all this goody-goody stuff going on, it's like, that's all anyone cares about.
I hear you. We are definitely living in a different world because of the coronavirus. John, let's talk a little bit more about your when you were brought up. What are some of your fondest memories of growing up?
Like, as they call themselves, normal children, I always looked forward to the holidays, Easter, but my favorite of all is still Christmas. So beautiful, because when I was old enough to really understand, and we don't have time to listen to the whole story right now, but maybe I'll read it when it comes closer to the time when I'm in, when I'm in the VIP room, when I sing some of those songs. My favorite of all was Christmas. Of course, I believed in Santa Claus then, but of course, I was able to learn the true meaning. And yes, I did take Sunday school lessons. And yes, the nuns did really teach me. I mean, honestly, some people say I belong in church. And in some ways I do, but really, I just keep the faith all over. Night, day, morning, noon, and night. It means so much to me.
Well, of course, we know that the Lord is in the forefront of your life because it is evident in you, and you live not just what you say, but we can see him in you, John, and that is something to be very proud of. And let's talk a little bit about when you were in your teens. When did you first start noticing girls?
That is a story in itself, because even when I was young, I would notice the girls. Of course, I just talked to them a little bit, those who would talk to me, but really, I really started getting interested in girls when I was 15. It's like, nice, nice. Of course, even when I was young, I had marriage on my mind. And my beautiful wife, Anjali, we married on, and it's been beautiful ever since. Marriage has really changed my outlook of life. It has changed the way I feel, the way I look, the way I do things. Yeah, sometimes I may get her goat, but don't we all get here? But we were married on October 21st, each other's goats. But really, I started noticing girls when I was really mature enough to really understand everything. But my flare-up really didn't get started until I got into junior high and high school.
And this leads up to my famous question. John, I ask this of all of my VIPs. How old were you when you got your first kiss? And do you remember where you were and who she was?
Believe me, I had so many girlfriends, believe it or not. Some were puppy love. But when did I really get my first kiss? Honestly, it was a woman named Nancy Hildebrand, who is, I don't like to say the word, low functional. She's a workshop girl, but she really gave me my first kiss when I was out waiting for a special van to pick me up. Because, like I said, I was working at a sheltered workshop in town here, and I outgrew it, of course, but she was the one who really gave me my first kiss. Her name was Nancy Jean Hildebrand. She really gave me my first kiss. Did it feel good?
How old were you, John? Do you remember how old you were?
Taking a guess, I would say I was 25.
Okay, John. And it was a good kiss. I could hear it in your voice. Okay, you said you and your lovely wife, Angeline, got married October. And you'll have an anniversary coming up here in just a few days. Next Monday night. How long have you been married? And do you have any children?
We do not have any children, but we were tested by the doctors and weren't allowed. We wouldn't be able to have any. The second part of your question, what was it again, please? I'm so sorry.
How many years have you and your lovely wife been married?
I'm sorry, October 21st. I'm sorry. It'll be 14 years. Shows you how good my memory is, folks. I'm so sorry.
Okay, October the 21st, well, you just had an anniversary. Did you do anything special for your anniversary?
We did have a small dinner with friends of ours, yes. And basically, we're a very simplified couple. We do things, there's really nothing to do around Nutley, New Jersey, really. It's a very sleepy town.
Yeah, Els and I live in Bridgeton, New Jersey, and we're out in the rural area. So you have to go about 35 miles over to Vineland before you hit anything exciting as far as really nice restaurants or very many different activities to do. So I'm right there with you. I understand that. Do you like to cook, John? You talked about in Perkins, you learn how to cook. Do you like to cook?
Well, actually, we do. We share cooking a little bit. We have very, very simplified meals. But believe it or not, besides my spaghetti and meatballs, I was introduced to Thai food. And one of my favorites is a dish called the drunken noodles. And believe it or not, I actually had a chance to say, and I'm probably not going to say this right, honey, Chipotle, is it? Chipotle, excuse me. It's not a Thai food, but it's called Chipotle, and I tasted it. There are some Indian foods I will eat, believe it or not. Honey, you're going to kill me. Can I have some keema tonight? I love that. Anjali's the one who really cooks for me, and man, can she cook a nice spaghetti and meatball dinner.
Oh, yummy. I want to come over. I love spaghetti and meatballs. What are your hobbies, John? Of course, we know you like to play the guitar and we know you like to sing. Do you have any other hobbies?
Every now and then I do read a few books if the reader keeps me interested, believe it or not. And I still think about him every now and then. Harry Potter. He was the one that really sparked my interest in reading on the Victor Stream Reader. Every now and then I'll read it, but it's really a shame that stuff really doesn't work.
I hear you, but the Harry Potter books were good fantasy books and so forth. My daughter-in-law loves them. Who, John, in your life has played the biggest role as far as a role model in your life? Who would that be?
Of course, my parents and my beautiful wife who's here listening to this interview. But really, when it comes to the truth, the one that's really played the best part of my life, our Blessed Savior spells his name J-E-S-U-S, the most beautiful name in the world.
Amen, John. I agree with you 100%. When did you come to know the Lord? Is there a particular date that you remember, John? What age did you come to know the Lord?
Well, like I said earlier in this interview, I really knew who he was when I was old enough to understand. Of course, I was able to take CCD lessons. Of course, mom-ish. Of course, Dad would read the Bible every now and then. But really, when I started singing at the church, really, I knew who he was, but really, I really started trusting him when I was old enough to understand in my 20s. And of course, me and my wife pray a little bit, but really, he was in my life ever since I was a little kid, since I was old enough to really understand.
And you should feel truly blessed by that, John. John, do you like to travel, or have you ever been able to travel very much?
Well, believe it or not, I do love traveling with my dogs here. And, of course, Hermie is here listening to this interview. And he is, well, seeing this is my third dog. Every now and then he misses streets corners, but we fix that with him. Other than that, he really does a good job with me.
John, if you could go anywhere in the world, money is no object, and you and Angeline could get on a boat or a plane or whatever and go anywhere in the world, where would you want to go and why?
Just anywhere. We can just leave this apartment complex and just go wherever God leads us, either on a boat or plane, just a cruise maybe, anywhere the blessed Jesus takes us.
Do you have a favorite food?
Voice activation active.
How would you and Els and the rest of VIP like to have how would you folks like to have a nice spaghetti dinner with us? Mm-hmm.
Tell us what time and we'll see if we can come on over. Sounds good to me, John. John, what is on your bucket list? What are some things you would like to get accomplished before you leave this world?
Hopefully, me and Anjali can move to a better apartment. I mean, this is convenient, but there are some things that we do not like, which we will not get into. But what would we like to do? What would I like to do? Honestly, I would love to go back to India with Anjali and visit again. It was so beautiful. I mean, Unfortunately, her father passed, but India was so beautiful. I mean, there were some people who spoke Hindi, but some spoke English. It was so beautiful. We would just love to travel anywhere.
John, when did you become, this is my last question, and then I'm going to open it up. Els has a question for you. When did you become part of VIP Conduit, and how has it changed your life?
Well, I came through the first one, forthepeople.com. After a lot of people left, I thought, oh boy, there may be something going on. So I was introduced to you folks, which I now call my secondary family. You folks have really introduced me. It's like, it's my second home. You folks are really like family. You, Els, a few other people, and of course there's Parker Waddington. So many people.
VIP is like a family, and we all care about one another, John, and we are glad that you and Angeline and your mom, sometimes we get to hear her in the background. We always enjoy everything that you do in Center Stage. Again, I just love to hear you pick that guitar and hear you and Angelina sing. You both do a wonderful job. John, is there anything that I have not asked about your life that you would like to tell us before I open it up for Els to ask a question?
Not really. Anjali is hearing this interview. That's how she pronounces her name, Anjali. But is there anything that you want to ask me? I think we covered all the basics.
All right, John. I want to thank you so very much for agreeing to be my VIP of the month of October. And I have learned so much more about you. I have always known that you had a strong faith in God, very musically talented with the guitar and a beautiful voice. But this has really opened my eyes to seeing exactly who and what you are and how you are such a loving and caring person. I am going to open it up. Els has a question he would like to ask you, John. Els?
Hi, John. This is Els. What type of guitar do you have? I have a couple here, and I really, really enjoy your guitar playing, and I wish I could play half as good as you do. And everybody on VIP do, you know, your music, your Christian music. And then I just have to make a comment about, I was in Center Stage and you played a Garth Brooks song and sang it, Friends in Low Places. I enjoyed that song so great. I said, I wished I had a recording. You were better than Garth Brooks, believe it or not. So continue to play your music, and I'd like to know what kind of guitar did you do have?
Well, this is my umpteenth guitar. It's called a Washburn. It can be electrified if I want it, but really, I don't think I'll use that feature because I'm not that kind of a player. It's called a Washburn, yes.
John, do you by chance have a recording of you singing the Garth Brooks song and picking the guitar, Friends in Low Places?
Unfortunately, no, I don't.
Well, we might have to work on that and get you in a room and get it recorded because Els would love to have a copy of that, and I enjoyed it as well. John, I want to thank you so much for being my VIP and sharing your life with us and sharing your story. I would like to let all of you know next month for November, our VIP for the month of November will be Angela Stowe. That will be on November the 30th, 2020 at 7 Eastern. So mark it on your calendar. It's an interview you won't want to miss. I'm going to let John introduce his favorite song. It's something I like to do. I always play my VIP of the month's favorite song at the end of the interview. So, John, if you will introduce your favorite song, we'll play that and end our interview. And thank you, everybody, and God bless.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, to end this beautiful interview with my family, whom I love dearly, ladies and gentlemen, let's listen to Michael Crawford as he sings the aria from The Phantom of the Opera, Sister Teresa, my sister in Christ. It's been a real pleasure. And every time I work in the office, as it's called, and I'd like to read the prayer again. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rain fall soft against you. Until we meet again, may God forever hold you all in the palm of his hand. May God bless you all.
Night time shine. sharpens, heightens each sensation. Darkness stirs and wakes imagination. Silently the senses abandon their defenses. Slowly, gently, night unfurls its splendor. Tremulous and tender, turn your face away from the garish light of day. Turn your thoughts away from cold and feeling light, and listen to the music of the night. Surrender to your darkest dreams. Purge your thoughts of the life in you before. Close your eyes, let your spirit start to of the music of the help me make the music.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.